Welcome to Kingdom Faith London's Prayer Academy, the first one. So this is the beginning of module one. There are five sessions in the module and there are three modules that we're going to look at doing. Okay, I'm going to give you a couple of handouts. So perhaps Mikey, you could do that on your side and then pass those back on that side. This gives you a little bit of a picture of the subjects, the topics that we're going to be covering in the three different modules, okay? What I will say about these topics is they are subject to change because we do want to really flow with God in these times as well. We don't want to be so rigid that there's not room for God to really, you know, just say, right, he did this 1 week, so the following week we need to build on that with something else. And there are some other subjects, like I know one of the things God's spoken to me about is dealing with strongholds in prayer. And that's not on there, but we will be dealing with strongholds in our minds, how we really tackle those things, where you get into a mindset or a way of thinking. And how do we deal with that? How do we tackle that? So that will give you just a little bit of a framework, if you like, to encourage your faith, to give you a bit of direction as to about, come and grab a seat, Raquel. The direction of travel that we're going in. We have got a register. This is not to tell you off when you don't come, all right? So it's not like a school register, but it's just a way of us keeping a bit of a record of who has done what, particularly for us as Kingdom Faith London, if you'll remember. And down in Horsham, when we do this academy, we actually do graduate people at the end of it. So we'll look at doing something like that because I think it's any opportunity that we can give the Holy Spirit to really come and anoint and bless and release people into something fresh, we want to take. Anything that you do like that, if you just do it because it's the letter of the law, it doesn't produce anything. But when you do it in faith, then those moments can be really powerful times. So, you know, we might do that one Sunday morning, graduate those who've completed the course, that kind of thing, give out certificates and pray for people so that they can really be launched into something fresh in the prayer ministry, in the prayer, their prayer life personally, but also within their ministry settings, within the church and outside of the church. So I'm going to send this round. I've listed the names of those who were in our congregation that I know expressed that they were going to be coming. And I've also put area in London. You can just put where, roughly where you live, because that would be helpful geographically. And any specific ministry that you want to, if you like, add your faith to, maybe the worship, for the worship guys, but it might be something else as well. If there's a specific area of ministry that you want to see your prayer life really impact during this time, then you can list that as well. And then just tick the box. Okay, there you go. Welcome. Come and grab a seat. Okay. So I'll let you do that. You'll see on your seats as well that we finally got our March reading plan. I apologise for the lateness of this. They did actually put the wrong postcode on it. It arrived today. And we wondered where it had gone because we knew it had been sent up from Horsham. But we, for those of you who aren't aware, we follow a Bible reading plan which just encourages us to get into the Word of God every day, okay? If you lose your bit of paper, it is up on the website, so you can find it there. But it's really something that we want to promote, that we are people who read the Word of God. So there should be one on your seat. Take one of those. And finally, I'm going to pass one more piece of paper around. Shall I give you that, Mikey? This is for you to write on, okay? You might have a pad with you, which is great. I want to encourage you to, if you can, get yourself a little folder, something that size, whatever. Keep all your notes in, because I am going to give you at the end, I'm not going to give you them now, but I've got notes that from tonight's teaching, okay, that you can take away. So you can take that at the end. But that's a piece of paper for you to write down your own notes. Now, you don't have to capture every scripture, that's not to kind of get the thing, everything that I'm saying, because you'll have that afterwards, okay? This is for when God really speaks to you, or there's something highlighted by the Holy Spirit, or maybe it's something, as I'm speaking, that the Holy Spirit just shows you something. Capture those things. They're the life-giving things that we want to see happen, in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
So we're just going to, let's stand together and let's just begin in prayer. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are here, that you're in us, that you want to work in the midst of us, through us. And I just invite you now, Lord, to come and speak to each one of us. Lord, I know I want to see something fresh in you in my walk with you. And I pray for that spirit of wisdom and revelation to just fall upon us afresh. So as we listen to your word, Lord, as we hear what you're saying, that faith will be encouraged, that we'll see what it is that you want to do in us and through us. And I just give you freedom, Holy Spirit, to come and take over, to come and do what you want to do in these times. Right at the outset of this course, Lord, we want to submit it to you. And why don't you just submit yourself to God in this place? Just ask him to do whatever you want him to do in these times. Just ask him what you want personally in your walk with him. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that wherever we are on our journey with you, you know it completely. You know us completely. And I just release a spirit of encouragement and faith over each heart. I just throw off all condemnation right at the outset. Anything that says we're not good enough, anything that says I'm rubbish at prayer, anything that says I need this because I'm just a failure in prayer. Just throw all of those things off right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that you take a hold of each one of us and that you lead us in your purpose. Thank you that each one of us is going to hear you clearly. Each time we come, each time we meet, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And I just pray that prophetic anointing of your Spirit upon this time, that you'd be speaking that now word in season. I just feel God saying to some of us, just don't even view this as something that you've seen before or know, or there's going to be some real basic things that God's saying. I just feel like God's saying this is a brand new work I want to do, a brand new thing, because it's a new season. And there's an acceleration in the Spirit that he wants to come over each one of us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, I just release that in the Spirit over our lives, over Kingdom Faith London, over every church represented here. I just release that acceleration in the Spirit right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, just take a seat, and you'll notice on the top of the topics form, there's two words. And those two words are activation and participation. And I wrote those there because these times, they are teaching times, but they are times to be activated. And they're times to get involved. So don't settle back into just listening mode. If you like it on the inside, just allow the Holy Spirit to activate something in you, okay? Because that's what these times are going to be. And they are increasingly, as we go through the teachings, they're going to get more and more workshoppy, okay? So there's going to be more things that we will actually do in prayer together. Okay, and that will increase as the course progresses. Okay, so come prepared each week to be activated and to put into practice and to participate. So the first thing we're going to do, or the first thing you're going to do, is I want you to just speak to the person next to you. You don't have to bare your soul, because I know that can be quite awkward sometimes when you don't know people as well. But let's just express verbally something you are believing for. Let's speak out our faith about something you're believing for in your prayer life. You might feel like, well, actually, I just don't pray. That's why I'm here, because I really need to pray. I know I should, because I'm a Christian, and that's what Christians should do. But actually, my prayer life's rubbish right now. You can be as honest as you like, or you can be, you can just give the, well, I'm really, you know, want to know Jesus better. You can express as much or as little as you want to in this time. But let's verbalise something to one another about our faith, because whenever you speak something out, you live under those words. Amen. So this is a real encouraging time. Let's just take 1 minute to do that with someone next to you. Seconds more. Swap over if you haven't. Okay. Right, let's draw that to a close. And, you know, one of the things that I've learned over the years in prayer, is the Holy Spirit is, he's really willing to, he loves to come and break in and change things, but he also loves to work within the parameters that we set. So I've got full faith that in these sessions, which from next month we will start at 7, now we know where it is, we've given a bit of grace, so we all know where we're coming, because some of us didn't know where we were coming tonight. We will be starting at 7 o'clock, okay, next time. And we will try and keep the teaching side of it to an hour, all right? So I think 1 hour, God can do a lot in an hour. So that's a good investment of our time to allow God to work. And the Holy Spirit knows that that investment is there, and he's happy to work within that, because he's the one that said do it for an hour in the first place, all right? So we'll be open to him to extend that, and we can have a sort of chat time afterwards as well. And one of the things that we do want to do increasingly is to really pray for one another, pray for people afterwards. And Jonathan and I particularly will be prophesying, believing, standing with people for specific things each time we come together, all right? Because we want these times to be breakthrough times, so that when we come back next time, we've got answers. We've got testimonies, things that we can point to. Okay? Great. Okay, so why pray? Here's a few questions for you. Why pray? When should I pray? How much should I pray? What happens if I don't pray? These are all really good questions. And they're questions that maybe you've asked, they're questions that maybe you haven't asked. Maybe you haven't thought about what happens if I don't pray. Because actually a lot happens when we don't pray. So just a quick quote for you, and then I'm going to chat to you really about a couple of things to do with the lifestyle of prayer. And the title for this week is Developing a Lifestyle. Rather than getting into straight into the nuts and bolts, we're going to look at the overarching why of prayer. Famous revivalist Smith Wigglesworth. We've all heard of him. Most people know him as the person that sort of punches sickness, and because he'd heard from God and punches someone with cancer and the cancer goes. Now, I wouldn't recommend doing that unless God's really told you to do it. But he was an incredible man of faith. But what many people don't know about him, they hear about the miracles, about the revival, about the testimony. What they don't know about him is that he was an incredible man of prayer. And he has a famous quote, maybe you've heard it, And he said, I never pray for more than 15 minutes. But he also said he never went longer than 15 minutes without praying or reading the word, reading the Bible. And he was renowned for, when he was having a meal in people's homes, for stopping halfway through dinner and saying, I just need to read the word of God, or I just need to pray. And he would literally stop everything and just begin to give thanks to God. And these weren't religious prayers. These were prayers that were heartfelt, faith-filled, effective prayers. And he lived out of this consciousness of God. And I know for me, that's been one of my prayers for many years. God, I want to be more conscious of you than of the world around me, than of what's going on in the natural around me. I want to be more God-conscious than natural-conscious. So that God can literally, I can hear the whisper of God in the middle of a busy place and respond. Because I think God is speaking, well, he is, he's speaking all the time, and we'll come back to that in a minute, as to how we begin to really cultivate this listening ear so that we're really learning to flow with God. So why pray? Prayer is not meant to be limited to a specific time or place. And Wigglesworth Life, I shared that story to demonstrate that as well. Prayer is a lifestyle. Prayer essentially, I think wherever the Bible talks about prayer, you could put in the word relationship. Why have relationship with God? We pray because, not because it's a duty, not because we should, not because, you know, Jesus actually didn't say, you must pray. He urged us and encouraged us to pray, but he didn't actually make it like a commandment. He just said, when you pray. The disciples asked him, teach us to pray, because they saw he was a man of prayer. They kept seeing him go off and spend time with his father. And he just said, well, when you pray, come to God like this. And prayer is not meant to be defined by a certain time and place. And that doesn't mean that there aren't times, specific times like this. This is a specific time we've given to God, and he's going to use that in your life. He's going to use this hour that you've given him. You've made a choice to say, God, I want to hear from you. And he's going to use that in your life. But it's not limited to here. Just as it's not limited to when you get up in the morning or you pray late at night, whenever your sort of daily time with God is. So we pray because of relationship. That's the why. We pray actually because of love. If you strip it all back, if you love someone, you want to be with them, don't you? The ones that you love, you long for their company. You treasure time with them because you love them. That means something to you because you love them. And it's the same with our relationship with God. So it comes out of devotion. God is listening all the time to us, all the time. That's the difference in relationship with God, because our relationship with one another, we just hear one another when we're together. God's with us all the time. So he's actually listening to us and hearing us, hearing our desires, hearing our longings, hearing our faith when we reach out to him, when we don't know what to do. Or when we're having a bit of a moan, when we're having a bad day, when we're having a... He's listening. And our words outside the prayer room, actually matter to God a lot. They matter a lot. And I hope that, you know, you'll increasingly be aware of that. I recently was asked to pray in a situation. And I found it quite challenging to pray in that situation, not because I didn't want to pray and not because I didn't think God wanted to answer, but because the prayer had been so, if you like, what was spoken outside of that prayer kind of had undermined the prayer. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if, for instance, let's take an obvious one, your boss at work. Your boss at work, you're having a really hard time with them, whether they know the Lord or not. And you're just speaking negatively. You're just, you know, I can't stand my boss. I hate my work or whatever. And you're just, that's the kind of language that's coming out of you throughout the day. And maybe you're verbalizing that to others. If you then, when you come to the prayer meeting, say, Lord, I want to bless my boss. I want to pray for my boss. I want to love my boss. God wants to answer that, but he can't answer it if we then go out and do all, start over the set of the following day with all the complaining, because God is actually saying, well, which prayer am I, which words am I to listen to? Which ones did you mean? Because it's actually fresh water and salt water flowing out, both. And actually, we undermine our own faith and our own prayers. So the why of prayer is linked to, it is linked to the dialogue of prayer with God out of our relationship with him. Because there's no point just coming in that way, because it undermines the very thing that we want to see happen and that God wants to do. So the true nature of what we believe is actually revealed not in the prayer room, not in here tonight.
That's really good.
It's not revealed here. It's revealed when you go out of here this week. Okay? But the fruit, when you're up against the rock face with your boss or with your job or with your situation, the fruit will be seen as you put it into practice. Okay? So that's just a little bit about the why. When should I pray? Well, spending time with the Lord really is when you want to. When do you want to spend time with God? When do you want to pray? You might say, well, actually, never. That's the problem. I never really want to pray. Well, when that happens in us, that's actually not our spirit man. That's our flesh. And we can all feel that. We can all feel that pull of the flesh because we're tired. Our emotions are involved. We think, oh, well, I prayed before and it didn't work. And there's a whole bunch of baggage. But actually, when should we pray? When we really want to pray, when you listen to your spirit will pull you into the prayer room. The Holy Spirit in your spirit will begin to say, come on. And there's some choices involved in this. But I would also add in to the when should we pray, if it's a relationship, say with your friend, or with, if you're married, your husband or your wife, or with your parents, you wouldn't just see them when you want to see them. You'd see them when they want to see you, wouldn't you? You'd have dialogue with them when they wanted communication with you. So I think there's many times God is actually saying, hey, Helena, I want to talk to you. I want to spend time with you. So it's not just when we want, it's actually when God wants. And I know that that's something I'm looking for in my own life more, to be more sensitive to hearing God when he's calling me out of my normal routine, when he wants to break into my normal routine and just pull me aside to pray. That's one of the specifics I'm asking for in this season, because I've known seasons in the past where I've been more sensitive in that, and I want to grow more. And, you know, the closer you get to someone, the more you know them, the more you know their heart, you know what they're thinking, you know their will. There's loads of situations that we face where we're unsure of the will of God. The closer we get to him, the more we hear him, the more we're going to know his will. So how much should I pray? Well, it's not how long, it's how intimate. You can have 5 minutes of quality heart-to-heart time with God that impacts you, changes you, gives you the very thing that you know you need. You can get that in 5 minutes, 10 minutes. when you can then spend an hour another time going through the motions because you've put it in your diary and you think you should do it. It's not about the amount of time. It's about the intimacy. It's about the connection. I always want to connect with God when I pray. Even if it's really briefly, it's like I want to hear that connection where I know I've heard him right now. He's right present. I'm communicating heart to heart in the moment. And I'm not talking about just feelings. I'm not talking about being feeling motivated. Your spirit man is where God speaks. And that affects your mind. It affects how you feel. But sometimes you can feel nothing but know that God's right there. Just know there's that connection point. So it's about how intimate do you want to get, not about the amount of time. And there are many seasons that we live in as Christians, as individuals in life. There are changing seasons in our lives as well, which can determine the amount of time. There are some seasons where we have loads of time that we can give to prayer. Make the most of those times because they don't last. Yes. We felt that a little bit with when the sale of our house, the first sale of our house fell through. Suddenly we had like another 3-4 months that we didn't really want to be in Horsham before we moved up here. But actually we really used that time to pray and it became a bit of a gift. Because we had some time that it was like, God, we want to be in London. But he was like, no, you're still here because I want to talk to you. I want to do things. So make the most of those times when you get them as well. Okay, how are we doing for time? Right. So what happens if I don't pray? You ever thought about that question? Any ideas?
Nothing.
Sometimes nothing happens in the sense that we don't get answers to the situations we need to see breakthrough.
Your quality of your relationship with God.
Right. Yep. Any other thoughts?
I think it opens us. It makes us vulnerable.
Right. Good point. Yeah, definitely. When we don't pray, think of it this way. There's a scripture, and I'm massively challenged by this scripture. And I've spoken it a lot when teaching on prayer. It's in Romans 14:23, and it basically says everything without faith is sin. And when I got the revelation of that scripture regarding prayer, it really affected me. Because I asked myself the question, is prayerlessness sin? If I don't pray, am I sinning? If Romans says everything that is without faith is sin, when I don't pray, unbelief is often not far from the door when I'm not praying into situations because I'm operating out of myself, out of my own opinion, out of my own reason, out of my own thoughts. Bearing in mind prayer is relationship. Prayer is connecting with God and inviting God into the situation. So prayerlessness, I would say, is sin. And there is quite a lot in the scripture about neglecting God, neglecting his word. Well, the word is God. And in the Old Testament particularly, you know, God rebuked children of Israel because they neglected him. That's a toughie, isn't it? Because I think it was the revivalist Finney who spoke about keys to revival, and he said, the sins of omission can be as damaging, if not more damaging, than the things that we do wrong. So in other words, the things that we don't do, we don't forgive, we don't love, we don't show mercy, we don't pray. They can be as damaging to us in our walk with God, to seeing the fullness of what God wants in our lives, to the sins of greed or whatever it is. So can we open the door? It's a bit warm in here. Or is it just me? Does anyone else feel warm? Okay. Okay, if it gets too noisy, we can shut it again, but just maybe get a bit of air in. Okay, as I said, prayerlessness can foster unbelief, because often we can be challenged not to pray about a situation because it faces us with having to believe God in that situation. Yeah. And that then faces us with, what do I believe? And you see, faith comes from hearing. So we hold back because we haven't heard from God in a situation, which is actually the one thing that we need, is to hear God. So just think of your own life, your own situation where you want to see some things happen relationally, just in your life. It could be a number of areas, maybe in your work, maybe in your finances, vision for your life, ministry, someone you want to see saved. What's God saying? Because once you've heard, faith comes. Faith comes into that place, and then we can begin to see answers, see the very thing that God wants. The other thing that I think happens a lot when we don't pray, and it's picking up on Belle's point, is that we can begin to believe lies. And the scripture reference, there's a scripture in Hebrews 13:12 that says our heart can become hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And sin, if we listen long enough to something, we start to believe it because we're not countering it with what God is saying, either in his word or what he's revealing as we come to him, then we start to believe lies. Like, you might believe the lie that you're not really great at praying. Well, do you know what? Wigglesworth, Finney, all these guys, they didn't think they were great at praying either. That's a lie. That's like saying you're not great at relationship with God. Well, it doesn't work like that. You're either a child of God, a son of God, or you're not. So your prayer life shouldn't be based on performance anyway. It should be based on relationship. So that's a lie. I'm not great at praying. And, you know, I'll leave that to a few intercessors in the church. We'll leave that to Ruth and those that we think can, you know, or Boomy, where's Boomy? She's not here yet. So those that we think are really anointed to pray and to, we'll leave that to them because I'm not really great at praying. That's a lie. And prayerlessness produces that. We can start to believe lies. We can start to believe all kinds of things that just aren't true. And not just about prayer, but about ourselves, about who we are. And fundamentally, if we want to develop this lifestyle of prayer, we have to understand who we are. And, you know, you get a lot of teaching about that in Kingdom Faith, particularly the In Christ teaching is at the heart of Kingdom Faith. Why? Because it's so fundamental that you know who you are, that you are confident in that, because God knows, and actually the devil knows, but do you know who you are? Because out of that place our lives are speaking. We're speaking out of that place. John 16, verse 13 says, in prayer, the Holy Spirit guides us into all the truth. Jesus, when he left, he said, I'm going to send another counselor. And he said, the Holy Spirit will guide you into the truth. So when we invite the Holy Spirit as we pray, as we want to commune with God, as we want to welcome him through the Holy Spirit, he guides us into the truth. So he's able to then shine a light on, no, you're not rubbish at praying, or no, you're not worthless. You may feel worthless, you may feel devalued, you may feel a whole pile of things because of the lies that the enemy's put on you. But the Holy Spirit comes and guides and shines his light so that we can know the truth. That's his job, actually. Prayerlessness causes us to wander away from the truth. Someone who's in rebellion, who's in sin, whose life is on a destructive path, I guarantee they haven't got a great prayer life. or that particular area of their life, they're certainly not yielded to God in. Because whenever we yield to God, the Holy Spirit can come and guide us into the truth. And he can say, hey, Helena, he can convict us of that's not true. Don't believe that. This is the truth, and point us to the truth. Which is why it's really important that we pray. So if we don't pray, what else happens? Two other things. We can function out of duty rather than love. We end up performing as opposed to relating.
Yeah.
You know, God doesn't want you to perform or me to perform. He wants us to relate. He wants relationship. And when we don't pray, we begin to function out of duty rather than out of relationship. And actually, we can all do that. We can all do that. We can all, you know, we know what religion is like. And, you know, many of us have been set free, if you like, from the chains of religious worship. But even in charismatic, Pentecostal, spirit-filled churches, we can become religious in our own ways and operate out of duty rather than love when there's a lack of prayer, because we know how to perform. We know how to perform. But God doesn't want us to perform. He wants relationship. He wants us to know him. In fact, Jesus came to set us free from all of that. That's the very thing that Jesus spoke against the Pharisees at, was that religious sort of mindset. Okay, our walk with God as a result of prayerlessness becomes dry. You ever felt dry? You ever felt like, oh, I'm just dry spiritually? And feel like you're in a wilderness. Now, not all wilderness times are the devil. Sometimes God can lead us into a wilderness place, and we will look at that. It's a very powerful season. Fasting is linked to that time when the Spirit of God came on Jesus after his baptism. It says he was led into the wilderness. So I'm not talking about a God-given wilderness. I'm talking about a dryness, just because basically your spirit is what's the word for not starving, but when you're really thirsty, gasping, dehydrated. Your spirit's dehydrated. Your spirit saying, I need to drink. I'm so dry. I need to drink. And we're made to drink of the Spirit every day.
Yeah.
We know that because Jesus prayed about prayer and about himself as the Word, which is why we encourage you all to read the Word every day, where he said, it's like your daily bread. It's bread. Bread is a daily provision. Mm. So every day, I need to hear God. My heart starts to get dry and hard, and I think I've used this analogy before of like a sponge. You know, the old loofah sponges, the natural sponges. If they're out of water, they get really hard and brittle and dry. As soon as you put them in the water and they get saturated, they become soft and pliable. And God said to me, that's what my heart is like. When I come to him in prayer, if I don't keep my heart saturated in his presence, in intentional times of soaking in, receiving, drinking in his spirit and his life, and that can happen as driving to work. It can happen as you're walking out in the park. It can happen as you're on your knees. Whatever the season of life is for you. But I need that, because otherwise I start to get dry. I start to operate out of my intellect and out of my reason and not out of my spirit and out of my relationship with God. So prayerlessness actually produces a lot. And we don't see the answers to the prayers that we want. So the things that we really long to see, we don't see happening. Okay, so how can I develop this prayer as a lifestyle? And I'm going to kind of round up with this, and then we're going to pray some things. We spoke about this on Sunday. Time. Make time. just like you've done tonight. You've broken into your diary and you said, I'm going to make time. I'm going to give God some time. You're going to see the investment of that. They reckon it takes 3 weeks to form a habit. 3 weeks to do something consistently. So if you haven't got a habit of prayer, and I would recommend find a time every day that you can pray. The same time if possible. That's not always possible. I remember when my kids were really young, that was impossible because my routine just changed every day. But there were certain things that I was doing the same. So as I was doing those things, I began to pray in those times. And they reckon it takes 3 weeks to develop that habit of prayer. Okay, so give it some time, depending on the season that you're in. If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. If you're too busy, if you're like, well, I'm just too busy. I don't know where I find the space. You're too busy. God hasn't called us to busyness. He's called us to productive lives, fruitful lives. But that does mean that you might be busy in terms of active. And, you know, some people are created more active. I think Jonathan and I got the gene that's very active. Because we flourish and function at that level. And I know some of you in the room do as well. Not everyone does. But sometimes when you've got that gene or whatever it is, you can be end up getting very busy and not actually making room for God. And we need to give God that time, make that room for him. These are things that you know. And this is the big one, actually. Let God deal with you in that time. Because it's easy to go through the motions. It's easy to read the Bible, read the Word, have done that. And we're such creatures of habit, aren't we? I have a rule with myself over habits. And where something becomes a routine, just out of habit, I try and break it. Even if it's as simple as, some people call it OCD, but I don't. If I, you know, I wash up and I put stuff in, you end up doing things in the same way, don't you? You get into ruts, basically. If I sit in the same seat, or I always dry up after I've done that, or I wash up after I've done that, and I'm not saying don't have ways of doing it, but if you become so inflexible in those things, challenge yourself. I can have a tendency towards the OCD. That's why I challenge myself not to be like that. Because I want to break out of wrong habits and create room.
That's good.
Create space. So make that time. Let God deal with your heart in that place. And that could be some real horrible words like wrong attitudes, laziness. That's a hard one to hear. When God says, Helen, you're just being lazy, get out of bed, pray. Sin. We live in a culture where that's just a horrible word. You're judged and called a bigot if you even say sin is sin these days. Am I right? Unbelief. Let God deal with you. I welcome the dealings of God in my life because I've learned that repentance is a gift. It's a gift. It's a big gift. Because it's the ability, repentance simply means I'm going in one direction. That direction might be, I set the alarm to get up and I just don't get up. So repentance enables me to, when the alarm is set, turn around and say, right, yeah, I'm getting up. I can make a 180-degree choice differently. That's all repentance means. It means stop what you were doing and turn the other way. And do what you know you want to do. So it's a gift. It's a big gift, repentance. It's not a wooden stick. It's a gift. Okay? So let God deal with our heart. And then things that we know, worship. Spend time worshipping God. Spend time with your Father, the one that loves you. Worshipping. Listening to him. And the listening bit comes through the reading of the Word. Get into the Word. Many, many, many of us struggle to really believe we've heard God. to really believe God has spoken to us. Is that me? Is that God? Is that the devil? Is it just my feelings? Is it my circumstances? Is it because I want to hear that? We struggle with all of these things, and we'll look at that in some of the other sessions, how we really, really can know God has just spoken to me. I know it's him, 100% it's him. Because God wants us to have that kind of assurance. I believe the assurance God wants for us as his children is that there is not a situation that we can't walk into without 100% confidence. I'm stepping into that and I'm going to know the will of God. I might not know it immediately. So there are situations we go into where we're like, help. But I think in those help moments, God wants to give us such confidence that we can hear him. That he will speak. Why? Because God is light. Everything about him is about revealing life and light. And you're his. He's in you. You are continuing the ministry of Jesus in the earth. That's why he's left you here and not taken you home already. Because he'd rather have you with him. So God wants us to have that level of confidence in our walk with God. Last scripture, Ecclesiastes 3:1, says there's a time for everything. There is a time for everything. So recognise the season that you're in, the bigger season, and find the space in your day. For some of you tonight, that's just going to involve a choice. It's just going to involve God's been on at me about this for a long time. And now I just actually need to do it. I need to do it. I need to put these things in place. And just to make that choice. Recognize the season, that there's a time for everything. If there's a time for everything, there's a time for everything in your life. Everything in your life. Everything that God's asking. He's not going to ask of you and then not give you the time to do it. So there's a season and a time for everything. Even if you feel overwhelmed, there's a season and a time for everything in God. Amen? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, on the bottom of your notes page, could somebody just read out the practical things that are there? There's three things.
Spend time every day listening to God. Decide when.
Yep.
Write in a journal what he says to you every day. Write out scriptures he speaks to you. Make them personal.
Now, I recognise that for some of you, you might already do this. This might be a habit that you do. It might be something that is part of your daily routine. If it's not, then I want to encourage you, build it in. Because by very nature of doing that, of committing to doing those three things, you're already going to have to commit some time. It might even be 5 minutes to write down one scripture, but you are committing already to give some time, which will help you get into the discipline of prayer. Personalise it because of everything that we've just been hearing tonight. Because God wants to speak to you. And it's a great thing to do. With the word, you know, when Jesus said, don't be anxious, trust in God, put your name in. Don't be anxious, Boomy, trust in God. You know, don't be anxious, Ruth, trust in God. Put your name in there. It does something in you. And I have a habit of then speaking that out so I hear it. So I can hear with my own ears my voice declaring what God is saying to me. And it does something on the inside of me when I hear that. Right, well, I think I've done quite well because we're 2 minutes after 8 and we didn't start till a bit later. So we're going to finish now by just really praying together and allowing God to take this and to begin to put something in over the next, we've got 4 weeks before we're going to meet back together. So let's just stand, let's stand. And you express some stuff at the beginning to another person. Now this is just time to express a few things to the Lord out of what you've heard tonight. Some of it, a lot of it actually, for many of you I know, will just be what refreshing what you already know. But we know in the Christian life it's not what we know, it's what we do with what we know that makes the difference. It's when we put it into practice. So just talk to the Lord now, just briefly, just for a minute or two. Just talk to him. Just spend a moment of honesty. Maybe you've got into the form of prayer and you're longing for the heart of it, the heart afresh. It's like, God, I want that sense of when I just really encounter you again, when I come together and it's just communion to my soul, to my spirit. I just long for that, Lord, again. Thank you, Lord. Let's just pray in the spirit a little bit. If you don't pray in tongues, we're going to deal with that next time. So, but if you pray in tongues, let's pray in the spirit. Salala mahalala barando roborobo shokora barabriando sura mande stishtele eleli obrei and deteya. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, shenana maheri obrei and stishtele eleri and dereida baha. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sakara barayana na mahara barandaria. Lord, I thank you for the river of your spirit just washing over each person here tonight. Lord, thank you for this space and this time. And I just feel the heart of God just saying that he's seen and he's heard every heart tonight. He's seen. He has heard and he just wants to, if you like, endorse the choice and the decision that each one has made tonight. And I just see as well, like some of you, I just see you throwing things off. It's like you're physically throwing things off that you recognise have been there. So if that's you, just see yourself doing that in the spirit, because that's what's happening as you make choices and decisions. You're just throwing things off and saying, no, I'm not having that anymore. And I thank you, Father, for just a sense of lightness, a sense of lifting up in the spirit for each person. Thank you, Father. And I just got this word that's just really, it's just, as soon as we started to pray, I just felt this is what God wants to do. There's a sharpness coming. There's a sharpness coming. So I felt the Holy Spirit say, there's some individuals here, you have a cutting edge calling in God, and God saying, I'm going to sharpen you again. There's some bluntness that's come, not entirely from your own doing for some of you, but God's just saying there's a sharpness in the spirit that's coming, because I've got a cutting edge calling. In fact, all of us are called to that in some way, but there's some specifics here for some people. You know who you are. You know what that represents for some of you as well. And God just wants to encourage you tonight. Thank you, Father. I just speak that encouragement. I speak that sharpening in the Spirit, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lord, I pray you just take everything that's been said and seal it in our hearts. I just speak protection over that word now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that it can't be robbed and stolen. Thank you that like seed put in the ground, it's going to be put into good soil in our hearts, Lord, to produce a rich harvest in these coming days, in these coming weeks, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Okay, take a seat. Amen. Great. Well, we're going to finish there, as we promised. We're going to keep these really concise, because we want to recognise, and we do recognise, Jonathan and I, that you work hard. That we all work hard in our jobs, in our daily lives, and we want to honour and respect your time as well, but appreciate the effort that you've all made tonight. Look forward to next time, where we are going to look at how to hear God every day, and we're going to deal with praying in the Spirit as well at that time, and really see a real release of tongues. Not, I mean, again, with tongues, you can get used to praying in a certain way, and God wants to do something so unique every time we pray. So we're going to deal with some of those things as well. If you don't pray in tongues, then we're going to pray that you get a release in that, but that also we all step into something new. Jonathan and I are here. If anyone wants any specific prayer as well, then we would love to pray with individuals before we go. We can be in here for a bit longer, but feel free to go as well. If you just want to get home, that's absolutely fine. And have a safe journey. We'll see you at the next Prayer Academy, those of you that aren't part of Kingdom Faith London. We'll see you at the next Prayer Academy.